news, and views from Non-Street Perspective. This is Non-Street Cast. Welcome to Non-Street Cast. I'm Joe.
And I'm Josh.
Hey, Josh, how you doing?
Hey, JoJo. How are you doing today?
I'm good. I'm good. How's your foot feel?
Much better.
Okay. Much well, we need better. To explain why I asked you that question.
Yeah.
Last time we were talking, you were going to be heading off to a business trip. What right. happened on that business trip?
Well, let's see. Somebody left some flyers while we were setting up the booth.
Oh, yeah.
And yours truly, while moving product around, making it look all pretty and jazzy, turns around and steps on such said flyers and nearly falls and busts his bum.
Ouch.
At least I didn't wipe out. At least I didn't wipe out, but I really stepped on my toe and I thought I was going to be okay. I really thought I was going to be okay. But then, you know, with all these events, you know, we went dancing later that night. We had a welcome reception and, you know, I had to walk.
We were busy. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it was Boston. I mean, we're all over the place. And so it got worse and worse. And so by Tuesday, I was in urgent care, my friend, in the boat.
Oh, wow.
And crutches.
Ugh.
And just not fun. Yeah. Not the way you want to come back to Atlanta, you know, like.
Yeah. I mean, you didn't drive to the airport, did you?
No. Thank
God.
Thank God. Yes.
Oh, man.
Not
oh, man.
But I that shall stinks. Survive. I'm doing physical therapy. I had to rest and relax. So, didn't really have a choice, but you know. Mm-hmm. So my 4th of July weekend wasn't as fun as some people's. That I know.
Well, I didn't go the 4th of July weekend. I went the weekend before. As you know, ooh, I was talking last time I went on vacation.
I'm off. I thought it was the same weekend. Oops.
No. It was the weekend before because I couldn't get reservations for the 4th of July weekend. Everything was booked up solid.
Oh, that's right. I didn't think about that.
So I went the weekend before that, but I had a great time, actually. The weather was great. I made the drive up there perfectly fine. Because I'm not a big worry there. It's like, this is the first time I'm going to be driving that far. This is honestly the farthest trip I've taken with my car.
Really?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So I drove up there. And the thing is, the drive up the Roseland, it's very curvy and very hilly.
It's West Virginia, honey.
But pretty much like when you're driving up to Roseland there, you're driving up a mountain. So the drive is 2 hours long. So it takes an hour to get from Pittsburgh to Moundsville, West Virginia. Then it takes an hour to get from Moundsville up to Proctor, West Virginia, which is where technically Roseland is. And so in that case, then went ahead there and I left actually an hour late technically on Friday, but I made it down there perfectly fine. And I stopped at the CVS, got myself some booze.
Yes. Yes.
And, and I made the drive up the hill and I decided I'm going to go the original way that I have gone there way long ago in the past, just to see what it's like there. Because the problem was with going up that way there in the past, there have been cases where I've come upon parts of the roadway where, because this is going up a mountain there, it's a 2-lane road, but it's kind of narrow. And it was to the point where half the road had dropped off onto the hillside where it was only a 1-way road. However, go ahead.
I was getting ready to say that because West Virginia, go figure, same thing. Like there's several areas like that. And like you're driving up the mountain and then like all of a sudden, like, first of all, it's narrow, like you said.
Yeah.
And then like half of it's falling off the hill and then it goes down to like one lane and you're like, ah.
But what's interesting is that what I was getting to is that they fixed it.
They did?
So I didn't encounter any of that when I went up there. Yeah. I mean, the road was still narrow. It was curvy, which I kind of forgot about there, too. It was kind of like, you know, forget about trying to drive in a straight line because not a single road was curvy. And there were still not guardrails where there probably should have been guardrails at. then also too is kind of like, you know, I also forgot about the switchbacks where basically, you know, you're kind of going straight, then you have to make literally 180 degree turn and go up a hill. So I did that and I made it up there perfectly fine. So by 4 p.m., I'm sitting at the pool with a slushie in my
Oh,
hand. Yeah.
I'm so
So,
jealous.
yeah, and I tell you what, I rented that room instead of actually camping there like I normally do.
Oh, thank gosh. I've
I am
camped.
so spoiled now. Oh my God. I had a room, bed, my own shower, my own toilet. You know, the things that you take for granted, you know, you have to
And
take for granted when you're camping then. Yeah.
yeah, because when you camp, especially when we were younger and we would go there, and it's been so long since I've been there, but
Oh,
you
were you in
know,
the porta potty?
who didn't care? Like, I think we were at that age when we were younger. It's like, oh, who cares? You know, like, I'll just camp out and like, you know,
Yeah.
drink, you know, but yeah, once you get older, it's kind of like, no, I kind of have, you know, some more standards here. You know, like, I kind of like,
Right. Well, the thing
have
is there
a
too is like I wanted this to be a relaxing weekend. And I tell you what, things I hadn't thought about was is that, you know, let's say I just needed to take a break. You know, I can just go back to my room for an hour, lay down on my bed, take a nap, wake back up, get ready, go back out again, you know?
Yeah.
And another thing I hadn't thought about there too was like on one of the nights there, it was a glow party kind of night.
Oh, I love those.
And so we're kind of drawing all y'all over each other and everything, you know.
Yeah, I love
I had a thing on my back that had an arrow pointing down towards my ass crack, and then somebody wrote deposit weird.
that.
And somebody drew us a jack-o'-lantern. Okay, so this is like the beginning of July, late June.
Yeah.
Drawing a jack-o'-lantern, is that like the only talent you have? But anyways, you know, somebody put marker on my face, you know, it was kind of like it was just a big mess. And I once I was done, I got back up to the room, and you can kind of see the marker a little bit there because it's, you know, glow in the dark marker. So it's like yellow or orange or one of those kind of colors there. And I'm like, boy, I look like shit, don't I? So I was able to jump in the shower and wash that all off before I went to bed. But also, too, do you think I actually drank any of the alcohol that I actually bought?
None of it.
None of it. No.
Did you
I mean,
not drink at all?
I drank when I was there, but I was
Okay.
drinking at the bar, which
Oh,
is
okay.
also too the first time that I drank any alcohol since Christmas.
Oh,
So
wow.
I know, yeah. I was kind of like, how am I going to deal with this? I was fine. My worst problem was is that I was having their slushies, which is kind of like what they're famous for at the bar.
Hey. Those are good, yes.
And they came in a styrofoam cup to keep them cold, thank God. But I was getting an ice cream headache whenever I was drinking them. And
Yeah,
I hadn't thought about that there. But yeah, it worked out pretty well there. I mean, it was pretty much like kind of like I was drinking like a drink, then a water, then a drink, and then a water. And, you know, I wasn't really drinking that much, but I was also on vacation. I didn't have to drive anywhere, you know. I just had to be there, you know, and I just don't want to be, you know, sloppy drunk, you know. Just want to have that ever so slight buzz going on, you know.
Yeah.
We're pretty much there. You kind of like lose your inhibitions, like you're not as awkward or, in my case, you know, shy, you know. So,
Yes, he's the shy one if you guys can't tell, so.
well, it's more or less. It's kind of like, you know, I'm like an extroverted introvert is the
Yes.
best way you can put it there.
Because whenever I lived in your neck of the woods and we would go out, oh my God, there would be nights, and I'm usually the one to close on the show, and I'd have to drag you out of there. I'd be sitting there going, oh my God, how much longer is he gonna talk? You know, like he knows every single person in this town. So you have your moments,
Well,
friend.
when you're as old as I am, yeah, you kind of know everybody because you've been around long enough. And I would imagine if I went out recently, you know, if like I went out again in the future, it'd probably be like that because I haven't been out to a bar in God knows how long now. So everybody'd be like, hey, how you doing kind of thing, you know? So, but it's really one of those cases there where it's kind of like, my olden age are turned into a home buddy, you know?
He has, y'all, like, and he's coming to Atlanta soon, so we're going to change that because...
Well, I'm on vacation. That's different.
I know, but I'm taking some time off to the south. And I don't want us just to go out the whole time, but yeah, I'm still dragging you to some game. And I'm taking you to a concert, so, you know, we'll find fun things to do.
So, actually, the next episode, we are going to be together when we do the show. Because I'll be in Atlanta, and it comes on one of those weeks that we have to record the show.
I know. So, I'm so excited. We've never done one together. So
the day that the show comes out, though, I'll probably be back on a flight to Pittsburgh. So, but basically, yeah, if you're just kind of curious, there, we record it on Wednesdays and release it on Sunday mornings, as you probably know. So that gives me a few days to go ahead and get the show edited, get it all together, get the post up and everything. And get everything administratively done that I need to get done to make sure this goes off without a hitch. But talking about administrative stuff, actually.
Okay.
One of the things, this is exciting. One of the things that we're going to be doing here is that, as you know, this is episode 46 right now. And we have episode 50 coming up.
Yes, we do.
So we decided to have the 50 on 50 contest.
I can't wait.
So.
And I'm going to win.
Right. No, you can't win, actually. It's in the rules. Well, technically you can because you're not really an employee.
I think we'll let one of our loyal viewers, you know, go for it.
Basically,
tell them more about it, Joe. Yeah.
Right here. Yeah. So we're going to go ahead here and we're going to play the ad.
Okay.
About this here. So go ahead and take a listen. Attention, everyone. It's time to turn up the excitement because Not Straight Cast is bringing you the ultimate chance to win big. That's right, folks. It's our 50 on 50 summer sweepstakes. The winner will receive a $50 Amazon gift card.
Here's how it works. Listen to the Not Straight Cast podcast between now and August 28th. On each episode during the show, we'll give you a word. There'll be a total of 4 words. Once you have all 4, head on over to nsc.lgbt/contest and enter in your name, city, state, email address, and the 4 words.
If you're listening to us on radio, you won't hear these words, so make sure you listen to the actual podcast in your favorite podcast app so you don't miss a word. Entries must be received by August 28th at 4 p.m. Eastern Time. We'll announce the winner on the 50th episode of Not Straight Cast on September 1st.
So what are you waiting for? Mark your calendars, set your alarms, and get ready to join the 50 on 50 Summer Sweepstakes.
Not Straight Cast, the LGBTQ podcast, gives you news and views from a Not Straight perspective, and also where you can win for listening. Okay, so you know how this works now and everything there, so... In that case, then, during this show, we're going to give you the first word. So, like it said in the commercial, there's going to be 4 words. And basically, in that case, or then, so you'll have the first word sometime during this episode. I'm not going to tell you where it's at.
And he's not telling me, you guys. Like, I don't even know. He's keeping it a secret, so I'm not going to even find out.
I know the words. I know the words. And if you looked at the documents that I ever sent you, you know the words, too. But anyways.
I'm in a moment kind of person. Like, I'm one of those people, like, I just did a presentation for work. You know, I threw it together, like, on Monday. You know, that's just me. Uh-huh. And I'm looking around, like, and I do it last minute. And then when I get there, I get this. Technical difficulties. Do you think the deck worked? No, because it couldn't even get the stuff hooked up right. And then I didn't even end up using it. And I'm like, well, whatever. You just got to be on the fly and go with stuff. So, but I'm really happy about this contest because I really want to see who wins it and where they're from. So,
yeah. So, yeah, based in this case then, so go ahead there. And once they have all 4 words, basically, like I said in the commercial, go to the website, enter them in and everything there, and then you'll be entering in the win. And then on episode 50, the penultimate episode, which is why it's named the 50 on 50 contest, we'll announce the winner and give you a $50 gift card to Amazon.
So make sure you guys sign up, get there, make sure you listen and get those words, and nobody better be hitting me up on social media trying to take a because I am keeping
what
my
are
lips.
The words
I still don't know the words.
Maybe I shouldn't tell you the words then, huh?
Actually, you probably shouldn't, because then he'll turn around, guys, he's gonna say, who'd you give the words? He'll be like, your friend is the one that won it, you know? Did you tip him off? Like,
it reminds me of that one time that when I worked at a TV station, a little low power TV station in Greensburg. I'm sorry, in Pittsburgh. Yeah, this is like the beginning of my television career, basically. I actually worked in an actual little low power TV station. We did these auctions, and during one of the shows, we raffled off a gift basket and another prize, basically. So there was two prizes. And so our host came on the air one day, and I guess we had drawn the prizes. She's like, I did not anticipate this happening, but somebody won both prizes.
Really? Like, how did that? Oh, because were they allowed
to have people? Drew two different things, and they drew the same name for both of them, basically. So, but yeah. But, I mean, this is nice and real easy to do there, because it's like, hey, you win. You know, we'll have your email address. We'll just send you off the card. So,
and we'll make sure to notify everybody if allowed. You know,
well, they'll be notified before. You know,
can we at least share the location? And
well, that's part of the things that they enter in. Remember, you read the commercial.
I mean, I don't want to, like, you know, tell anybody's name or anything, but we could at least,
it's gonna be their name, their location. We're not gonna say their last name. It's just gonna be Bob from Walla Walla, Washington, you know.
Yeah, I think it'll be interesting to see where our winter comes from, you know. So
Josh from Atlanta, Georgia is our winter. I'm sorry, Josh from Atlanta, Georgia is our winner, because I said winter.
And hey, if that does happen, y'all, you know there's like 100 plus Josh's in Atlanta, Georgia.
Right,
you know,
exactly.
Okay, so go figure, you know, it could happen.
All of a sudden, Josh will be on a spending spree with his $50 from Amazon, right?
Exactly.
But anyways, so we've talked enough here. We're going to go ahead here, and we're going to take a commercial break. And we'll be right back with the news here on Not Straight Cats. Hey there, listener. Did you know about Audible? Audible lets you enjoy all your audio entertainment in one app. You'll always find the best of what you love or something new to discover. Audible offers an incredible selection of audiobooks across every genre, from bestsellers and new releases to celebrity memoirs, mysteries and thrillers, motivation, wellness, business, and more. You'll discover exclusive Audible originals from top celebrities, renowned experts, and exciting new voices in audio. Audible also includes thousands of podcasts, from popular favorites to exclusive new series. As an Audible member, you can choose one title a month and keep from their entire catalog, including the latest bestsellers and new releases. Members also get full access to a growing selection of included audiobooks, Audible originals, and podcasts. You can download or stream their included titles all you want. The Audible app makes it easy to listen anywhere, anytime, while traveling, working out, walking, doing chores. You decide. New members can try Audible free for 30 days. Go to audibletrial.com/NSC. That's audibletrial.com/NSC.
If ensuring speed and security for your sites is really a top priority for you, then search no further than VoxOnyx's shared website hosting plans. They use SSD-powered servers and provide numerous site acceleration tools that make your websites load noticeably faster. Additionally, they deploy ZFS data storage to shield your website contents from corruption. Also, they will manage the task of migrating all the websites you need to their system, absolutely free of cost. Get started now by going to VoxOnyx.com. That's VoxOnyx.com.
And now it's time for the news. So did you watch the presidential debate?
Oh, yes, I did. I live in Atlanta. What do you think? My an air traffic controller for Delta. And our mayor, like the city said, encourage remote work because we had some other big event going on. We had the debate going on. I don't think there was anybody in the city that didn't watch the debate.
Mm-hmm.
Not
well,
Atlanta.
Pretty much there. You watched it when the first 5 minutes, you're like,
I was like, yeah, I was sitting there like texting with a girlfriend and I was like,
yeah, it was bad. So
it was not good.
So it's been a little bit of time since that debate now. And while President Joe Biden says he will not drop out of the presidential race after his lackluster performance against former President Donald Trump, some social media users are saying that outgay Secretary of Transportation Pete Buttigieg would be a good replacement. But such a move would be difficult and would come with risks. So in a recent post on X, Twitter, political observer and data scientist Armand Domanowski posted a table of percentages showing that Buttigieg outperforming other possible Democratic replacements like Vice President Harris, California Governor Gavin Newsom, and Michigan Governor Gretchen Whitmer in critical swing states. The table came from a post-debate report leaked from Open Labs, the research arm of the Democratic super PAC Future Forward. Commenters on his post wondered whether Buttigieg would serve better as Harris's vice presidential candidate and noted that during Buttigieg's 2020 presidential campaign, he struggled to gain support among Black voters, a crucial demographic in the Democratic base. It's also unlikely that the positive polling numbers of Buttigieg and other possible replacements would stay high if they entered the race. Presidential candidacy would attract widespread media attention and public criticism, worsening any candidate's favorability among voters. But Domanowski isn't the only one considering Buttigieg as a possible replacement for Biden. Numerous other commenters also endorse Buttigieg either as Harris's possible running mate or as the presidential candidate. Buttigieg is known for being articulate and capable of very good responses to Republican critics and talking points in a succulent and disarming style. But it wouldn't necessarily be easy to replace Biden, partially because Biden has already won 3,894 delegates in the 2024 Democratic primary. And just for example, a candidate only needs 1,968 to win. While post-debate polling has shown that Trump is gaining a lead in swing states and majorities of the Democratic voters supporting Biden dropping out, Biden has sought to calm Democratic fears about his age and mental abilities by holding in-person campaign stops in North Carolina, Pennsylvania, and Wisconsin, and sitting for an interview last Friday with ABC News' journalist George Stephanopoulos. Biden has also scheduled a meeting with Democratic governors and reportedly has an 8-point plan to rescue his reelection campaign. The plan includes highlighting positive polling, dismissing critics, proving his vitality, and reassuring donors of his abilities. So in order to replace Biden, he would need to step aside before he's nominated at the Democratic National Convention in late August, leaving an open convention where delegates could vote on his replacement, or Biden would need to withdraw after the convention, leaving the Democratic National Committee to elect someone to replace him. Someone could also try to challenge Biden at the convention and try to win over the delegates that Biden won in state primaries. But this could leave Democratic primary voters feeling silenced and disenfranchised since their votes for Biden would essentially have to be discarded in order to choose a replacement who they may not support. So many of the discussed replacements, including Buttigieg, have publicly continued to voice support for Biden, even as Democratic congressmen have asked Biden to step down. Also, replacing Biden could create bad optics for Democrats. Replacing him would essentially admit that Republicans were right to continually focus on Biden's old age and mental fitness. If they replaced him, Democrats would have to consider having Biden resign from the presidency altogether, as it would make little sense to say that he's still fit to preside over the country while being unfit to run for re-election. Also, the line of succession normally would replace a president with his vice president. If the DNC allowed for a white candidate to replace Biden over the Black woman who would typically replace him, it would anger women and Black voters, two key demographics that Democrats need to win in the election. So, yeah, the Democrats have kind of got themselves backed into a little bit of a corner right now.
Yes. I think it is a hot mess. Like, right? I literally watched that debate and I was kind of like, and everybody else was like, you saw all the memes, like everybody was just sitting there like,
oh my God, what the hell is going on? Well, we first off knew that Biden had a cold.
Right.
And then it was like, literally like he was meandering on and then, you know, ran over his time limit to the point where one time he said, you know, basically let's beat Medicare. And then he got cut off. And then Donald Trump turned around and said, yeah, let's beat it into the ground.
Yep.
So it's like we had a sharp on point Trump, or as sharp as on point as he can be, spewing lie after lie, taking on somebody who is sick, you know, and obviously not 100% with it there, because I mean, like, when you're sick, do you feel like debating people? No, you want to sleep. You want to get better. You don't want to be standing on stage debating somebody, you know. That's literally probably what happened there at that point. He had a bad night, you know.
It was not a good night, that's for sure. No. So I don't know, like, what's going to happen now? Like, because I know so many people have, you know, called for him to, like, you know, like, step aside. Like, it's just, and we're so close to the election. Like, I mean, it's already July, so it's kind of like, what?
Now that I have some time to think about this, I think Biden should stay in the race just because of the fact that it's, number one, too late to replace him with somebody else.
That's what I'm thinking. And
number two is that the presidency is just more than one person, because,
right,
you know, I'd rather have Biden around there because, you know, he, in his first, you know, term as president, he's made some pretty good decisions, you know.
And you have to look at the whole administration
too. Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
But the president is not just one person. You have to think, who's he going to hire for all these different members of the cabinet. And so.
And I think the people that he's hired has been good people, you know.
Yeah. So that's something you have to always look at too, because a lot of people always see, like, him versus Trump, Trump versus Biden. Like, they don't look at the full picture. Like, there's always a whole team behind each. So you got to
think about
you get with each. You know, that's what it really comes down to.
And the big thing that's been coming out lately has been Project 2025. Have you seen any of that?
Yes. Yeah.
That's a little scary, don't you think?
Yes.
Because I know Becca mentioned it on a podcast a while back, actually, and I hadn't thought about it at that point there, but now it's like in the news, you know. This is basically the RNC's, you know, platform.
So much momentum, because I tell you what, since the debate, like, now I see it all the time on, I'm always going to say Twitter, but X. I see it
on Facebook. I see it on Facebook a lot.
Facebook, all over the place. Like, it's really gained momentum, so we'll have to cover that in an upcoming one for sure, because that's just in the last week or so, like 2 weeks, it's really, like, taken off. Like,
I don't want to scare viewers to death, but basically, yeah, it's very scary.
What? And it's not going away, so it's like, people really need to get educated, so for real.
Exactly. We were all younger at one time, including Joe Biden. But especially as a gay man, there were things that you could get away with when you were younger that you can't get away with now.
I know.
Uh-huh.
I'm not that old. I'm not the old one, JoJo, you know.
Yes, you're perpetually 29.
I know. But with our next story, if I can go ahead and dive on in, let's talk about some gay men. And let's talk about gay men sharing the things they could get away with when younger, but not when older. This was a question recently on Ask Gay Bros Over 30, and it has prompted hundreds of replies and gotten.
Well, you weren't on that subreddit because you're 29.
I know. I was going to say, what site is this? I've never seen it. But the question got the older guys thinking. So the question was, what are some things you could get away with when you were younger, but can't now that you are older? Asked the original poster. He started the conversation by offering sass, which I love. Sass. When I was younger, I could get away with being lippy. Now that I'm older, anything sassy just comes off as a bitchy old queen.
Yeah, I would say.
And many did agree with the comment about the sass. I kind of I'm still pretty sassy, but I could probably get away with it a little bit more so when I was younger.
Not much longer though, right? Because...
Oh, be quiet, JoJo. Okay, let's continue. All right, but many agreed with the comment about sass. And so it said, I've encountered plenty of gay men in their 40s and 50s who still act like mean girls in high school, and they only want to sex like teenagers too, said one. It's a reason why I related to Stephen Fry when he was speaking about the infantilization of society and how people have become increasingly immature over the years. The next one, other than sass, drinking.
And if you pour your bottle of wine. Yeah.
Oh my God, he busted me. It's been a rough week, y'all.
Yeah. You're allowed to drink wine. We're doing this show. It doesn't matter. Anyways, yeah. Go ahead.
I'm busting me out, y'all. Cheers. But anyway, drinking, a commentator in his late 40s said drinking alcohol and being functional the next day. I rarely drink anymore. And if I have more than two drinks, I feel it's so hard the next morning. Hangovers hit differently than they did in my 20s. Many also agreed with this statement. He said, I need 2 days to recover fully from a night of drinking. Doesn't matter how much water I drink before, during, and after. Even one or two drinks, I still feel hungover the next day most times.
Yeah, that's like kind of the reason why I just, you know, when I stopped going out and I stopped smoking, especially, because that's the reason why I don't go out, is that I don't smoke anymore. And thus, I don't drink. I don't drink at home. It's just kind of like, when I did go to Rosen and I did drink there, I was basically, you know, it was like, drink water, I was avoiding all the drama because I was constantly peeing because of all the water. Yeah, but you know what? It's kind of like, I don't recall ever getting drunk. Maybe a little tipsy there, but I don't ever remember being hungover, which is an awful feeling.
Oh, yes, definitely. But if you just drink all the time, you don't really have to worry about it. So,
well, that's why Bloody Marys exist, right?
Right, right.
Because, yeah, basically you solve drinking with like, being hungry or with just more drinking. Yeah, just constantly be drunk.
Exactly. Uh-huh. But others highlighted the next thing was physical changes. One man said he could no longer get away with a size medium shirt that showed off my biceps. Another said hard labor exhausts him in a way that it didn't when younger. Doing back-breaking manual labor all day, such as digging a trench with a pickaxe, etc., then going out for drinks and working again the next day. Others agreed, with one guy in his early 50s sharing, I spent an afternoon just pulling the weeds out the other week, and I could barely walk the next day.
One thing, did like, have you noticed this? I'm not sure if you have, but I have especially. Let's say you're on your knees doing something. And not what you're thinking. And not what you're thinking. I was just thinking when I said that.
Where's that cute sound effect, Joe?
Yeah. Anyways. So, you know, when you're on your knees, okay? Down on the floor picking something up. Yeah. Or like you're just, you know, just down on your knees doing something. And then you have to get up.
Yeah.
How much harder it is now?
No, not really.
Well, some people will notice this. I definitely do.
But someone, the next one, actually.
I'm going to come break that other foot of yours.
He gets so off topic with mine. I make him give me the good stories, y'all, because I can't do politics as well. Like, he's really into the news show. He knows this. But one said he could no longer assume he would always be rock hard, even when extremely turned on. Once it's happened a few times, the mental game going forward is tough. Viagra works great, but I remember the good old days. Ha ha. So, no comments there. The next is interacting with others. Someone in his early 40s said they have become more aware of how they interact with others, especially if it involves physical touch. Hugging, for instance, as a very young man, I would be very touchy and could hug everyone. And now as an adult, everyone assumes that's sexual predator behavior. So I learned to keep my distance. I sometimes go months without physically touching someone else, not even accidentally, which I thought was kind of interesting, to be honest. I hug everybody, but I'm like Southern. So, you know, one suggested that one had to learn not to pass the buck. As you age, you might be able to blame your inexperience when you're young, but it doesn't cut it when older. One of the biggest changes is to how to live life. As I've gotten older, is realizing I have to make the decisions in a lot of situations. And I try to deflect or evade that responsibility. Even if I have a very good reason not to make the call, it comes off as incompetence. Another well-liked comment involves socializing. One guy said he felt he could no longer get away with using shyness as an excuse. Now people think I'm rude. I used to tell my ex-boyfriend that all the time. The suggestions.
Yeah, I never tried to be rude to people at all, you know. Maybe that's why I'm the extroverted introvert. I don't know. I thought maybe I was a little bit extroverted. It was during the pandemic I realized I'm very much an introvert. But on the other hand there too, it's kind of like I try to be friendly, you know. I'm not going to be silent and mean, you know, as people will take that to be.
I'm much more so an introvert.
What? An introvert? What the
honey, hell? There's nothing introverted about me. You guys know this. But the suggestions continue to roll in, like including wearing crop tops. And I'm in Atlanta, trust me, every time I go out. Okay, mm-hmm. I don't do that, y'all. I'm not telling my age, but the crop tops are in. Wearing the twink underwear. No comments there. Now I have an elevator ride. Spiel about yourself and your profession, sleeping on a mattress on the floor.
Oh, yeah. Have you ever encountered that? You're to a guy's house and their mattress is on the floor?
Yes.
I've encountered that without the mattress cover on there. It's just like literally a bare mattress.
And
what,
then the next
what a turnoff. Seriously.
But hey, when we were younger, we didn't care. And not having any bed frame whatsoever. And that does drive me crazy. I'm sorry. Like, for one, a bare mattress. But number two, if you don't have a bed frame, like...
Go spend the $30, you know, at the store and get one, you know?
Okay. Amazon, honey. But sleeping in odd positions, taking drugs, being out till 2 a.m. and being at work by 8 a.m. You know, those were all different things that were mentioned. So...
I was never able to successfully do the, you know, go out until 2 a.m. and be at work by 8 a.m., you know, so.
I can, actually, but I try not to as I've gotten older.
No.
Because I can still power through my day, you know, I can, but I'm going to pay for it. Like, you know what I'm saying? It's going to be like one of those days when you're going to wake up and be like, let me get the Alka-Seltzer and take some Excedrin and like, I'll make it. But then by 5 p.m., you bet your ass I'm going to need a little nap.
Right? Yeah, you're going to be
like,
in bed.
You know, napping. It's going to take everything I got. It's like, I'll pull through. Yeah. I'll do it. But I'm going to feel it. Yeah, eventually.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's kind of like one of those things I found as I've gotten older, I just need to treat myself better, you know?
Me too.
So, like, if you have that case there where you are out late and you have to work early, yeah, like you're saying, like, once you're done with work,
and you kind of almost like, I think as you get older, you've just gotten partied out. Like, I feel that way too. Like, because then we used to go out. I don't know about you, because of course when I met you, we were both a little bit older. But you know, like when I was in my
Were younger, you mean?
Well, we were younger, but I mean, I was like, I didn't meet you till I was in my late 20s.
In your late 20s.
But
anyways, yeah. So I mean, like,
you know what I'm saying? Like, you cherish your house more. Like, you cherish like alone time, and I think you've done the scene so much that then you enjoy it more. Like when you come down, I'm gonna be really happy because it's like I'll go out with you, and I don't get to do that all the time.
Yeah.
You know, like, and we'll have a good time because we're not going out every night of the week, you know, like.
So the reason why I don't really go out that much anymore is that because you're not around. You're not in Pittsburgh anymore.
I know. So,
yeah.
And I can't wait for him to get down here. I'm going to drag him all over Atlanta, y'all.
I know.
I've got to get ready.
But anyways, here, I guess it's time for another break. So we're going to go ahead here. We're going to take our break, and we'll be right back with more Not Straight Guests after this.
Zakiya is a fresh new British LGBT plus travel, one focused entirely on the guest experience and creating memorable, bespoke travel experiences to amazing destinations with stellar entertainment and world-class hospitality. Zakiya charters entire ships and resorts so that their LGBT plus travelers have the freedom to express their individuality, make personal connections, celebrate life, rev up, or simply relax together. View your Zakiya dreams with their e-newsletter or book the occasion by visiting nsc.lgbt/VACAYA.
Not Straight Radio, 24/7 LGBTQ talk radio, where conversations spark connections, diversity takes center stage. Tune in for insightful dialogues on love, life, the news, and everything in between. Not Straight Radio is your destination for thought-provoking content that resonates with every shade of the rainbow. Not Straight Radio, 24/7 LGBTQ talk radio, because everybody's story deserves to be heard. Visit nsc.lgbt/radio to listen now.
Did you know that Not Straight Radio is now available on your smart speaker? Just tell Alexa, play Not Straight Radio.
Really? You want to listen to that crap?
Not Straight Radio, now available on your smart speaker. Welcome back to Not Straight Cast. So in our next story, how do you feel about reclaiming anti-gay slurs? Josh?
No.
Well, okay. We'll talk about that here.
Yeah. Sound simple. You elaborate a little bit here.
So for some, the answer is a simple yes or no, but for many, whether or not it's okay to reclaim slurs that were used to put us down as a community is a much more complicated issue. Obviously, there are plenty of opinions in all, or at least most of them are totally valid. Let's take a look at five anti-gay and anti-queer slurs that are being reclaimed today. The first one is queer. For many of us, queer was one of the first insults hurled at us when we acted a little differently than our friends. It's meant to make a person feel like an outsider, like those who they aren't normal and like they should change. But in its strangeness, that many queer people have found strength and comfort. From the 90s, we're here, where queer get used to it, chance to the iconic TV show Queer as Folk, the current day usage, whether organizations like GLAAD use it in headlines, queer has long of a history of being reclaimed, is now one of the most popular words used by the LGBTQ community. I think queer is fine, you know?
I think queer is fine.
Because I think people who don't fit into the gay or lesbian, you know, things there, you know, especially if they're straight, but queer, you know?
Right. I never had an issue with that word as much. Like, and especially like queer as folk, and like, you know, we're all used to chanting, we're queer, we're here, get used to it, at pride and stuff like that. So I don't see an issue with that one as much. Personally, I don't. I mean, if it's said by somebody like nasty or derogatory, then, but not like. But
it seems to be pretty calm nowadays. Pretty it's calm. Like, just our way of describing somebody there, you know? And some people use it as the Q in LGBTQ, you know?
Actually, yeah, exactly. So yeah. I don't see an issue with that one.
I figure it's a nice, you know, umbrella that encompasses everybody else who's not gay, lesbian, bisexual, transgender. Anyways, there is a more serious one, though, okay? And this one may probably cause us to maybe agree that it's bad still. Faggot. That's a big one.
For many, I hate that word. I'm like, ugh.
I hate it, too. Anyways, for many, faggot often brings up some of our most painful memories of being bullied, attacked, and discriminated against. For years, it's considered probably the worst anti-gay slur, and there's a good reason for that. The word is used violently by straight people who often shout it while committing horrible hate crimes. But for others, reclaiming the word is the ultimate rejection of cis straight power over queer people. We find strength and beauty in this weapon they use against us. It uses its effectiveness, and if we take the power the word has and use it within our community, let others know that we are family, we become even more powerful ourselves. I would say here that faggot is a word that you and I can use with each other.
Because we're both gay. If you're gay and it's another gay person, then kind of, you know, yes. Like,
you know, we'd be like, hey, faggot.
Yeah. What's up, fag? You know, but.
But if my mom would be like, hey, you faggot.
Straight
folk
call me faggot.
No,
I'm like, no, sorry.
I'd be like, what the are you talking about? You know?
Why? So, I would be seriously offended, you know? Like,
well. But I mean, I guess it's where it's coming from. It's kind of like, you know, it's basically like certain things in the black community that us as white people can't say that they can say.
It's like a gay community where, you know, like it's gay. You know, you're like a gay man and you're another gay man, and I might come up to you and say, what up, faggot? You know, what's up, my fat? You know, stuff like that. Like, you know, or stop being such a fat, you know, just jokingly and stuff like that. You know, like we just joke with each other. But like, yeah, straight folks say that or something, like, no.
Yeah, still bad. But in this case, I would think, you know, if you're, you can use it. But if you're not, then stay away from it there.
Yeah.
So this kind of brings us into the next word, dyke. For lesbians and other queer women, the word dyke has a lot of painful associations. When homophobes use it, it pushes people back into the closet, makes them feel ashamed. But when a queer woman uses it, there's nothing that sounds better than that. For decades, gay women and members of the lesbian community have eagerly embraced the term dyke with all its masculinity, queerness, fuck-you-ness, and ferocity. Being a dyke is powerful and cool. Being a dyke excess is sexy. Being a dyke is important, and we will be dykes until the day that we die, according to the article. So I think it's a lot like the word faggot, you know, you're using it at, you know, from one gay man to another, it's fine, but yeah.
So, I totally agree with that. Like, you know, out of these so far, like queer, that's cool. You know, faggot, no, not unless you're gay, you know?
Yeah. Dyke,
you know,
gay.
Definitely, you know, because it is, you know, it is sexy, you know, I mean, there's like this sexiness and swag to it that, you know,
I would say it probably has a better reputation than the word faggot, you know,
probably. Yeah, I would say that. So
congratulations, lesbians, you win. Anyways,
I know, right?
Here's another one there. Yeah, and that probably neither one of us are qualified to talk about, but it
came
up in this article, and that's the word tranny. In a word where trans women are the targets of violence and murder and a growing number of laws meant to keep them from existing in public, it makes a lot of sense that this word has a lot of baggage around it. Tranny is used to dehumanize trans people, misgender trans women, and point them out in public. While it's considered bad manners for a man to hit a woman, many are perfectly fine hitting a tranny. However, if you are a tranny, the word can feel like home. Among the dolls, they use the word to show that they trust someone. If they call themselves a tranny around you, you know that they feel safe with you. And if they call one of their friends a tranny, you can know for sure that they're their ride and die. So they're an exclusive family, and they see and love each other for who they are. And sometimes that's trannies. So I think the way that the article is written there, that in a sense there, maybe it's a lot like the word faggot in dyke.
You know? Yeah.
Yeah. I think really these words only belong
to
you, and you can use them if you are, you know.
So, right. Exactly. So. I completely agree.
And then there is the next word and the final word, homo.
No homo.
I love that sound effect. I tell you
what. I know, right? I should have known that was coming, y'all.
Right?
Oh, come on, do it one more time.
No homo.
Go ahead.
Many homophobes love the term homosexual precisely because it sounds like a medical condition instead of a mental disorder.
No homo.
It separates the human from the homo.
No homo.
Instead of calling someone a gay man, you can say a homosexual or simply a homo.
No homo.
And suddenly he's less of a person and just a sexuality. But also, homo is an insult and sounds pretty funny.
No homo.
And if homosexual isn't a slur, why should we feel bad about being called homos?
No homo.
Honestly, though, the right just kind of did a bad job on that one there. But the fact that's probably one of my favorite sound effects, the no homo one.
It is his favorite jaw.
No homo.
But yeah, this one... Yeah, like you said, it really does. It's like, instead of calling somebody just gay, I mean, you can simply call somebody gay, you know?
Uh-huh.
I don't know why, like, some straight folk have the audacity to be like, they're homosexual. Just like,
yeah, that's probably the word that gets me, like, the most there.
Oh my God, they're like mentally disturbed.
If you're trying to cause harm to somebody, you're going to use the word homosexual as opposed to gay or lesbian or bisexual or whatever.
Absolutely.
They're homosexuals, you know, because it's always said it in like a, you know, mean tone and everything.
Absolutely.
Out there, those homosexuals, you know.
Yeah.
Exactly. So, anyways, yeah, it's just one of those cases there where, you know, the fight continues on there, and it's just kind of like, you know, it'd be nice if those words didn't have the negative connotations that they do, but they still do in some cases there. So, and, you know, who knows if they'll ever not have those connotations there, you know, because even to a certain extent, it's kind of like the community is going ahead there and embracing some of those words there for their own use. And that's, I think, the best we could do, you know?
Right.
But anyways, here, your next story that you're going to deal with here is kind of like the perspectives that older men have there that they kind of knew when they were younger.
Right. So with my next story, things are better for young queer or gay men coming to terms with their sexuality these days compared to the past. But that doesn't mean they're perfect. And I completely agree with this. Advice from older folks that have struggled with the same things may give a different perspective. Number one, don't forget your friends.
Absolutely. Yeah, that's number one. Yes.
Thank you. Because when you were dating, don't forget to maintain your close friendships, because friends often endure beyond romantic relationships, but they require nurturing and maintenance. Too many times we see this happen. It's like...
Well, especially when I was younger there, yeah, it'd be like one of those cases, I'd get in a long-term relationship, I forget about the rest of my friends, you know, because I was so, you know, focused on that one person there. And then all of a sudden, poof, that relationship's gone, you know?
Right.
And it's kind of like, okay, now I literally have to start over again kind of thing, you know?
Right. Exactly. And I wasn't like that, because I always tell everybody my friends come first, because I'm like a spice.
But that's a good, you know, thing that have there, you know.
It's like, you got to get with my friends.
You ain't no scrub, huh?
Be my lover. You got to get with my friends. Oh god, now you got me singing Spice Girls. Anyway,
good Lord.
Own your sexuality. So don't be embarrassed to tell sex partners what you like doing in bed, or have to ask for the sex that you want. As a gay man, we're often taught to feel ashamed for our sexual desires. Mm-hmm. And that can leave many of us forever challenged when it comes to saying what we do and don't enjoy. So learn what turns you on and discuss that with your partner. Then explore more things to add to the list. Erotic pleasure is infinite. There is no need to be bored if you share your active imaginations.
Face down, ass up.
That's the way I like to stay safe. Have as much sex as you want with whoever you want and never feel guilty about it, but always be safe. There's no sex so mind-blowing it's worth risking your health for. And if someone tries to persuade you to be unsafe, that should be a reason to leave.
Josh, you ignorant slut. Anyways.
Shut up. Number four, prioritize the right people. Prioritize people who want to prioritize you. Those who do not treat you as an option. And this is so important because, yeah, once I feel like I'm an option, yeah.
That is the worst thing in the world. I tell you what, there. I can say one thing. You do prioritize me.
I always prioritize Joe. And you know what? You're my number one friend from PA. Aww. In the gay community that has stayed in touch with me. And one of the only that have visited me. So I really appreciate that.
We'll keep this applause going forever. But anyways,
Number five, support others and they'll support you. Challenge, prejudice, discrimination, even when it isn't aimed at you or people like you. Racism, misogyny, homophobia, transphobia, and yes, even ageism are toxic, depriving people of opportunities to fulfill their potential. Our enemies seek to divide us. Don't let them. Support others and you will be supported by others. Help when you can and accept help when you need it. So true.
Yeah, I mean, that's one of the things there, I think. None of us have all the answers, you know?
Right. I love the next one because I say this all the time.
Actions. Yes. Oh, yes.
Louder than words. Let's dance. Okay, now it's got me singing another song. All right. Someone may say that they're committed to you or feel a certain way about you, but if their actions say otherwise, listen to what those actions are telling you. People really do reveal themselves through their actions.
Absolutely. I tell you what, there.
Oh, true.
Yes.
Number seven, strive to be kind. This is so important. Always try to treat others with kindness, even if you have the perfect bitchy response to hand to put someone down. Cruelty is not funny.
Not at all. I agree. But I mean, it's kind of funny though, because it's like one of my best friends, him and I fight like an old married couple, you know?
Yep.
I was trying to explain to him the difference between digital and analog, and he kept interrupting me, and I'm just kind of like, eventually kind of dissolved into, you know, it's like, screw this, I'm done, you know? But it was like, the thing though is that, you know, even like with, you know, you and I there too, you know, it always comes from a place of love, you know?
Right.
So.
And the next one is so important to you. Don't ignore warning signs. And don't ignore those red flags when getting involved with someone. They nearly always turn into bigger issues further down the line. So true. Trust your gut.
Oh my God. Red flag,
run. Number nine, swap contact details. If you have amazing sex with someone in a bathhouse or other sex venue, don't be shy of asking them for their phone number. If you don't, you'll likely never see them again and may regret not asking for it. I never used to do this, but when I started doing so, I was surprised how often guys wanted to connect again or meet up. Not everyone is looking for an anonymous brief encounter. In fact, most people aren't, which is very true. So I say, go for it. Swap that number if they want to, you know?
So let me ask you this here, because I'll be honest, I'm not a person to just sleep with people just because I just want to hook up with them there. Mm-hmm. And you probably are. So.
I can't tell my business, John.
Well, no, I'm just saying here, you know, from, we have different personalities there, and mine doesn't really involve, you know, sleeping with random people, expecting never to talk to them ever again, you know?
Oh, I could care less. Number 10, the right party. That's probably why I'm single. The right partner goes beyond the physical. Good sex involves your heart, head, and dick. If your dick is the only part of you really involved, don't be surprised if after you orgasm, you feel lonelier than ever. This is your heart and your head saying, hey, why didn't you let us in on this? Learn to open your heart. I'll give you the key. No, I'm just sorry.
Okay, learn Madonna. Anyways.
I know, right? You've got me singing with this article. Like, what in the world? Okay. There's so many like different songs that have popped into mind reading this. Learn to open your heart and your mind as well as your legs. Agreed. Don't fall in love with a man just because he has a gorgeous dick or any other gorgeous body part. And in a long-term relationship, sex will only ever be a small part of your adventures together. And personality and shared values will become more important.
Yeah, I wish I'd known this when I was younger too, because I honestly have been in relationships because the sex was good.
Me too. Like,
to the point where we broke up and then that person needed help and I went over and we had sex again.
Right. And then you just can't quit each other. And it's like, you don't date, but then you're still sleeping together.
Right. Yeah. And then it's kind of like, yeah, then it's kind of like you get the worst of it there, because then it's like, you know, you're not together anymore. You're sleeping, you know, and then it's kind of like, yeah, you want to feel lonely afterwards? Yeah.
Yeah, definitely. Number 11, don't fall for myths. The old saying that no one loves a fairy over 40 is a big fat lie.
I don't know.
Number 12, things will change and that's okay. What would I advise my 20-year-old self about love? Love is different when you're in your 20s. It's supposed to be an adventure. You're meant to love lots of people in many ways. That's what happens as you age. Love changes as you get older and things get calmer. Problems become more subtle. You'll probably look for more stability and less drama. So enjoy your lovers now, knowing it will get better over time. And most importantly, I love number 13. I know it's not the last one, but this is my favorite. Cherish all generations.
Yes.
Every generation is fabulous in its own way, and I couldn't agree more. Every generation is going to face its own struggles. So my generation, the author here, was decimated by AIDS. Chemsex continues to take a toll on our communities. We cannot be certain that the freedoms and rights we enjoy now will continue unless we remain vigilant. So we have to deal with these challenges more effectively when we learn from the generations that came before us. I couldn't agree more. Absolutely love that one.
Yes.
Number 14, choose the relationship that's right for you. It is possible to love more than one person at the same time, equally and differently. Some of us are naturally suited to non-monogamy, and that can be also a committed relationship. But be honest with yourself and your partner. Cheating sucks. Mm-hmm. Make sure you get the relationship you want. The great thing about being gay is that we don't feel like we have to have a relationship like our parents. If you want to be open, negotiate that. And if you want to be monogamous, then that's okay too.
I mean, it's one of those cases there where it's kind of like, sometimes I do feel a little jealous for the fact that, you know, that person found their soulmate, you know, or they're in a long-term relationship and they've been there for years and everything. It's nice having that. But on the other hand, there too, it's kind of like trying to find the right, you know, mix of everything there is very tough. So I tell you what, you know, if I could go back and change time there, I don't think I would have broken up with my first long-term relationship because of the situation that basically I ended up, you know, unfortunately cheating on them, and I got what I deserved, you know.
You know what? I've been there before and done that.
It's kind of like, you know, if I did it differently there, I would, you know, cherish it a lot more, you know.
Exactly. And this is one of my other favorites, is that life is too short to not be yourself.
Yes.
So it is way too short to be spending time hiding your true self or trying to live up to the expectations of others. This is your life and you only get to live it once. So true. One of my favorite mottos of all time. I tell people that all the time. I'm like,
I wish in this life that I was a little better looking, but okay, whatever. You know.
I don't know. I like to always say, no regrets, you know?
Yeah, I mean, like, people tell me I'm an attractive guy, but it's kind of like, I'm not sure if I see that for myself, you know, but okay, whatever.
But I think that's a really good article and I really liked learning about those. And you got me singing too, so that's always a plus.
Well, anyways, here, we're going to go ahead here and we're going to take our last break. And we're going to come back with our moment of conclusion as Not Straight Cast continues after this.
Craving a sound check that celebrates you? Tune in to LGBTQ Radio, playing your favorite Not Straight music. From pop anthems to indie beats, LGBTQ Radio plays the hits that cater to our community. Stream your favorite artists and discover new tracks that will keep you dancing all day and night. No talk, all tunes, LGBTQ Radio, where every beat is a celebration of you. Listen now at LGBTQRadio.com.
Hey, it's 50 on 50 contest time, and now here is the first word. Don't. Once again, the first word is don't. Remember this word. There'll be three more words over the next three shows. Once you have all four words, go to nsc.lgbt/contest and enter. Thanks for listening to Not Straight Cast, and keep listening. You'll get the next word in our next podcast episode. And now it's time for moment of conclusion. So we were talking in your story there about how you may need Viagra nowadays because you can't get quite hard enough. Anyways, an alarming new study has found that a percentage of men seeking treatment for erectile dysfunction showed evidence of microplastics in their penile tissue.
About this.
Concerns about the danger posed by microplastics have grown considerably in recent years. Plastic material can take hundreds and hundreds of years to break down. As it does so, it can fragment into tiny pieces. Microplastics is the term given to any plastic material less than 5 millimeter in diameter. It's already known that microplastics pose a problem to ocean wildlife and have been found in the flesh of fish. But in recent years, more and more studies have shown the presence of microplastics in our bloodstreams and organs. It's unclear exactly how this might be impacting our health, but it's highly unlikely to be beneficial. Scientists are increasingly worried about microplastic toxicity and how the material can accumulate in our bodies over time. Researchers looked at five men who came forward to have an inflatable penile prosthesis, an IPP.
Wow.
This is an inflatable device that's placed in the penis. It can make it erect for sexual penetration. So basically they can pump up their penis.
What? Okay. I didn't even know this existed. Go ahead. Sorry.
Just wait. You'll have one day. Anyways. They underwent the procedure at the University of Miami between August and September of 2023. The men, all already undergoing penile surgery to implant the device, were donated tiny tissue samples for the purpose of research. Microplastics were identified in 80% of the samples. The specific microplastics found are the ones commonly used in food and drink packaging and other everyday items. This is the first study to detect microplastics in penile tissue. Previous studies have detected microplastics in the testicles and the semen of humans and dogs. In the latter, microplastics were related to lower sperm counts. It's impossible to protect yourselves fully from microplastics, as they're everywhere in modern life. However, they suggest that people reduce their use of single-use plastics, that they filter their tap water, and choose fresh food over food in plastic containers that require microwaving. Avoiding fast food and plastic bottles is also advised. Although this is the first study to identify microplastics in penile tissue, the researchers say it remains unknown what role it might play, if any, in erectile dysfunction. Further research is needed. So anyways, yeah. So there's another thing there to make your erection go down, right?
I know. And I remember reading about this. Gosh, it came out, and it wasn't just in regards to erection. I mean, it was in regards to so many other facets too. And I was really shocked, and I was like, well, no wonder, you know, they, like in Atlanta, for instance, you know, like now if you go to like Publix or something, like you have to pay for your bags, like, you know, like you have to take like an actual bag from them, or you're going to pay for the plastic, which is so true, because plastic's just everywhere. Like,
one thing is, in Pittsburgh, they eliminated plastics in use, like for bags. You can't get plastic bags now, like if you go to a supermarket, for example.
That's how we are. Like, yes and no. Like here in Atlanta, it's like, okay, like I think like certain places will give you and some won't, or if they do, they'll charge for it because they're trying to reduce it, you know, which given
there's basically, they'll give you a paper bag, but they'll charge you like 10 cents for it now.
And you know what I noticed, and this is going to be so interesting, and it's kind of, well, it's not really off topic, but of course, toilet paper of all things. I the last two or three times I've ordered toilet paper, and, you know, me being bougie, always have to have, like, the quilted northern or whatever. It comes in paper now. We're going back to paper versus plastic. Like,
right.
I noticed that with a lot of different things, like straws. We're going to paper straws everywhere you go.
But let's be honest, paper straws suck.
Yes. Even at the last conference I went to here in Atlanta for work, they gave me this. It's a reusable straw. It holds your straw, and it holds a little bendy straw inside of it that you can take with you to use.
Is that a plastic one though?
It's plastic. Well, it's kind of vinyl. It's vinyl.
Oh, okay. Okay.
And it comes in this cute, see this that I'm showing you? But it's a way for you to take it with you, because then it was so funny because they all said, well, paper straws suck, just like you did. So this is a way for you, when you get a paper straw, you can have your own little straw. You can just like keep it in your pocket or in your purse.
Yeah, I think it's one of those things we're going to have to reconsider how we use plastics in our daily lives nowadays, or, you know.
Right. Plastic took over, and now we're going paper, you know, so.
Mm-hmm. So I think this brings us to the end of another show.
No.
I know. But anyways. So anyways, thank you for listening to the Not Straight Cast. Subscribe where all great podcasts are sold. Visit Not Straight Road, which will allow you to access all of our websites, including Not Straight Cast, NotStraight.news, Not Straight Radio, and LGBTQ Radio at NotStraightRoad.com. Email us at feedback@NotStraightCast.com. or record a voice message at nsc.lgbt/bm. And until next time, have a not straight one.